Podcasting 2.0 for July 24th, 2026, episode 266, Research Velocity. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody in podcasting land. Is there anything going on? Is there anything to talk about? Well, only the future of podcasting. Yeah, that's right. This is the board meeting, the place where it all goes down, where this band of misfits gets together to discuss it all. We are the only board meeting you can attend with your eyes closed. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who can tell you exactly why the Roman Empire fell. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones!
Anything happening in your world this week?
Nah, not much going on.
Yes, it seems a little slow.
Yes, it's been a slow week.
Yeah. No, you're just kind of hunting around for stuff to do. Nothing really.
Yeah, nothing. No, I don't want to do any long podcasts or anything. And oh, yeah, that's right. I don't want anyone who I know to die this week.
Well, so 6 hours of podcast. How much do you even have in the tank today?
No, I got a tank, but I'm running in crisis mode, I would say. You know, that mode where you're just like, I'm running in crisis mode.
Can I sort of take the wheel for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to just ask you if you're okay with this. I would like to ask you some questions that I think would be helpful for people who might be in your same shoes.
Okay, sure.
And so your co-host of No Agenda, because there's a lot of overlap between No Agenda and Podcasting 2.0, but not 100%.
Well, there's me.
That's true. You're in the Venn diagram. You're the one where it all over. You're the center.
I'm there. Yeah.
You and Cotton Gin. And so, some people may not know who, or not listen to No Agenda, and you're a longtime co-host, for 18 years. Is that right?
Yeah. Would have been 19 in October.
Passed away this week.
Yeah.
And that is for any show that has been running for a substantial amount of time and for any show. So there's a few questions I want to ask about this, because number one, a little bit of selfish concern for you that I have, because you're my buddy. No Agenda is your main source of income.
Yes.
I need to ask you, are you going to be okay?
I don't know. Okay. Honestly, I don't know. I appreciate the question. You know, would we be okay for a year without income? Yeah, that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's not, not preferred.
I mean, up and down income is the life of any sort of freelance person, whether it's a contractor or a freelance artist or any type of person who does freelance. I mean, you're not where you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. So I'm kind of sort of asking this question as if I'm another person out there who also may have a co-host and have a long running show that is my main source of income. Like what do you think your next steps are?
Wow, these are very good questions. The questions I've been asking myself. Okay. Well, why am I hearing myself come back from you? I know why. Hold on, I got it.
Are my headphones too loud?
No. I fixed it. Well, there's a couple things here. The main issue. So first of all, I just want to put the money aside. Because I've never really worked for money, and it shows.
It does.
So what's interesting about any podcast, I guess, but ours in particular, and I said this yesterday in my opening of our tribute show, which will carry, we're going to do Sunday, we're going to do some clips, and the main thing is people want to have their say, so we just said, put it in your donation note and we'll read them all. We read 753 notes yesterday. That's why it was a 6-hour show.
Oh my goodness. That is so much.
But it was beautiful, of course. And
yeah,
the thing that struck me as an aside is the number of faithful people, you know, not just people sending thoughts and prayers, but like real prayers, which was kind of blew me away.
That's great.
Yeah, we deconstructed media, but it was a performance. We always said this. It was a performance between the two of us. And if anything, I think we both kind of wanted to make the other guy laugh and wanted to say, hey, look at me. I got something. Look at this theory I have, or look at these things I've found. Clip of the day, that kind of stuff. So that's a chemistry that we didn't even start until we had been talking on Skype 18 years ago, for weeks, you know, hey, we should probably record this. That's literally how it got started. So very much like you and I have been, well, we'd been talking for years before we did the podcast. I do, we get to do this with Pastor Jimmy. We're now 42 episodes in. So, you know, I'm not a solo guy. I'm someone right. who works with someone else, and that you can't just plug someone in and, oh, okay, now it's going to be great. So, and also I don't know if that would work.
Right.
And honestly, I'm also very tired. I'm just tired. Ever since John's bypass surgery, maybe a little bit before that, I felt like I was propping him up, dragging him along a little bit, which was completely understandable. Also, you know, no one knew this because it was a big secret I was supposed to keep, but he was 80 years old, not 74. So he was a little older. Not that that's a death sentence for most. You know, and just, you know, what's happening, what's going on, concern for him. You know, two families have been living off of this show, in essence, for all this time. So I really don't know what's going to happen or what I'm going to do. I think I need just a week or two of rest. I don't think his passing has even really hit me because, you know, you get the call on Monday. There's, you know, what are we going to do? Consoling, mourning, with his family. It affected me, and I don't think I've processed it yet. And, you know, this just, I'm like, so I haven't really quite wrapped my head around it, but yes, I do have to figure something out for sure. What that is, I just don't know. And do I really want to try and do No Agenda with someone else? I don't think it would be the same. And it would, I think it would feel fake to me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make sense. And it also makes sense that you wouldn't have really been able to process through all of this. Like, sometimes I think when you're in a situation like this where somebody passes away, but you also have lots of responsibilities that sort of orbit around that person, even a spouse or something like that, their passing, your grief connected to their passing gets pushed to the side for a while because you just have to take care of a lot of things.
Yeah,
you have to take care of, you know, if you're the family, you have to take care of the funeral and you have to take care of all those things. If you're, you know, somebody who's a business partner or a longtime friend, or you have other responsibilities, you're going to have, everything suddenly becomes around, there are immediate actions that I need to take care of real world issues. And so you tend to put your own grief to the side for a little while, and then it's only later that you really begin to experience that. And so that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you probably just kind of feel a little bit lost right now, I would imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, and Tina's been fantastic. You know, she's like, you know, we'll figure it out. Everything's doable. Everything's possible. You know, we'll figure it out. She's not, that's really awesome that she's not freaking out. But she realizes the same thing. It's like, okay, well, what does this mean? How do we move forward if income stops? But I'm trying not to, I kind of stopped worrying about money in 1990 for a whole bunch of reasons.
And I'm mostly because you lost it all.
That came later.
Okay.
No, that came in the 2000s. I love podcasting. I love the shows that I do. I love No Agenda, really did, but I just don't see how I can, you know, recreate some chemistry. I think I'd always, whoever comes in, if that were the way I would go, it would always be unbalanced. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we were 50-50 partners on a handshake, literally, except for we had to form an LLC because the IRS was like, what are all these $3 checks? And what's all this, what's all this cash in envelopes?
Are you a political candidate? What is this?
What's going on with that? So we had to formalize that, you know, so there's another party in this equation, you know, so how do you deal with that? And it's just, but just from a creative standpoint, John was my counterpart. And just like you're my counterpart on this show, and Jimmy's my counterpart on We Get to Do This. And that's something, you know, Jimmy and I have been talking for years before we said, hey, let's hit record on this. Same with you and I. So I don't have that luxury of finding, oh, let me find you, buddy. Yeah, let's talk for a bit and then we'll hit record. Just doesn't seem like it. But it's just interesting and John and I would talk about this all the time. This was our famed exit strategy talk, because there's no exiting from a podcast, except the way he did it. He literally took the only exit strategy there is. And by the way, to just be lights out while grousing about a hole in a plot of NCIS. Yeah. I'll sign me up for that. That's the way to go.
That's simultaneously the most John Dvorak thing to do. Yes. And also a great way to go out.
I mean, exactly. Like, exactly. So, and I appreciate him for that, but you know, it'll sound corny, but I'm just, you know, putting my faith in God and praying about it and saying, what does this mean? And, you know, listening for answers. And that will take a little bit of just time without the stress of, you know, doing a show twice a week. So I have some thoughts on how we'll keep the show going for a couple of weeks, so I can just get my head together.
Sure.
And we'll see where it goes. But I appreciate the concern, because yeah, the concern is obviously real. Yeah. You have to get a job. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, this could be the case that other people face when they have a long running co-host. And I think there's maybe not a lot of people in this situation, but there are quite a few who, I mean, think about any show, like take Accidental Tech or The Flop House or any of these shows where there's two or three people who are sort of, whose personalities combine to create really what the show is. It's not one, you really can't just plug another person in. It's really this unique fingerprint that's created by the combination of the personalities and how they interact.
Here's the thing that is unique though about this, because with everything I've ever done in broadcasting, and certainly in podcasting, I learned a long time ago, and this is part of the value for value model, is that you're building a community, not an audience. See, this is completely antithetical to what the podcast industrial complex wants. You know, they want numbers. You got to have numbers, and we're going to jerry-rig this thing so that we can show numbers. Even if you hit play and listen for 30 seconds, we got numbers, 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 numbers. And that's very, very difficult. You know, we probably would have made a little, maybe 20% less money with advertising, with the amount, and depending on how many ads we would jam into a show, just looking at the number of downloads. If we'd gone that route, and it would have never worked because, you know, we would have lost advertisers for all kinds of reasons. And certainly during COVID, where the value for value model actually worked very well in our favor, that would have been extremely adverse if we were an ad driven podcast. And so No Agenda is far bigger than Adam and John. I mean, we have 5 meetups a weekend taking place all over the world. You know, it's not like we're at the meetups. People are just hanging out together and discussing topics that we discussed or whatever they're doing. You know, we've had people meet each other, get married. You know, it's a community that will definitely help me through it, no matter what I do or how it goes. But I feel a responsibility towards them too. You know, you can't rug pull. I mean, that's not something that can happen. It's way too big. You know, we have a language. We have jokes and inside jokes and all kinds of things that, you know, I don't want that to fall apart.
That's a really good, just general point to make about what No Agenda was, is because you built. Because you built and it evolved over time into being more than just content. It was a whole community of people. That community of people will follow you to your next project, but it doesn't mean that you're going to keep them there. Yep. I mean, if the content's poor, they won't stay. But at least you've built the community, and that community is strong and will follow you and give this next, whatever project you do next, they'll give that a shot.
Yeah. No, I know.
And that it gives you, you know, at least it gives you a solid footing to begin with, you know, mm-hmm. and because they want, they're there. I think a lot of them, like it's sort of like, when Neil Peart passed away in Rush, you can't just plug him in. You can't plug the new person in and go, you have to, it's not that band anymore. It's whatever you do next will be something different.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And for sure.
Cause I think of, I mean, just our show with you, know, we've been going for 6 years and, you know,
die on me.
I promise.
Planning? Okay, good.
I promise I will never die. But the, like, if, you know, if you left or something, I could, like, I'm not going to just keep doing, like, I can't do it by myself or like with somebody else. It's just not the same thing. I mean, like, it just, the desire to even do that wouldn't be there.
Right. Well, there you go.
Because this also applies to, it's not just if you're long, if you're a podcaster and your longtime podcast co-host dies. It's not that just they die. They could also just leave for business reasons or health reasons. Or some, you know, there's just lots of reasons why something like that could become an issue for people. And I mean, I guess you just have to, it has to be part of your planning process, I guess.
Basically, what we're saying is podcasting is a bad industry to get into. It never ends well.
It's the Roach Motel of media. Yes, you check exactly. in, but you don't check
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
The only way you check out is you die.
That's straight up, man. Straight up. So anyway, I'll figure it out. I have some ideas. I've spoken to a few people. There's some plans. I want the show to continue. I mean, I'm not going to do the show with Mimi. You know, that's not, that would be probably the worst part. Like, you know, although she is an interesting person, but I can't do the show with anybody else. I can't do that show the way it is. So something has to transform, And I may or may not be a part of it. But I think the show can continue one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how yet. And as I said, I haven't really, you know, it was Monday we heard, Tuesday it's like, okay, I literally just sat on the couch Monday. Like, what? what just happened? Tuesday, you know, we were talking with everybody, trying to get stuff together. We wanted to do a memorial show, of course. Wednesday, I don't know what I did Wednesday. And we just did the show Thursday. And that was long. You know, 6 hours is long when you're reading 700 notes. And today or tomorrow, I've got to put something together, some kind of best of John clips or whatever. People are sending stuff to me, so that's really good. Always the producers, of course, they do a great job. So I got to put that together. And then we have to read the rest of the notes because more will come in. And then, you know, John's memorial is going to be on August 8th. So we got it to San Francisco. I also coincidentally, like, you know, the same, within the same 20 hour period that John died, I got a baby granddaughter.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's
so
right.
It's kind of like,
so, man, both sides,
life and death life, in one go. And, and we got to go to, we got to go visit.
Yeah.
Cause we haven't seen that we were there long, but you have some kind of buzz going on. Do you have a USB cable? Do you have a USB cable somewhere near? Let me hear.
No, not really. I think it's gone now.
Yeah, it is. Now it's gone. Yeah. Good. So we'll see. As I would say in these cases, it was a real day wrecker. That's for sure. It's a real day wrecker. Now, there's a couple of things going on that I find extremely interesting in the podcast world.
Okay.
This AMP group came out, and it's still kind of secret who's in it.
you find it interesting?
I find it interesting because I see opportunity. That's why. I mean, I see opportunity that may be counter to what most people see. I thought the most interesting, the two interesting things.
Did you read the document?
I did read the document, yeah. And, you know, so they have a definition of what a podcast is. And, you know, I kind of like the idea of it works with your eyes closed. Okay, that's cute. And then they add to that, which is hasn't really been discussed, you know, could be RSS, doesn't have to be. Okay, well, I take some exception to that. But then it all folds right into just the biggest, it's so obvious. Well, okay, so I was listening to Dan Granger on Pod News Weekly Review, and he said, you know, the worst thing we can do is we can be confusing our customers. And I thought, hold on a second. Who is the customer of a podcast? That's the listener. And they're all focused on the advertiser. And I understand it, and I understand what they want to do. And it's going to make a few people a lot of money, and most people will get nothing because agencies and platforms and agencies platforms. Well, you know, they're basically rolling everything up. So if you get 10,000 downloads, which is quite a lot for any podcast. You know, they're going to take 100 of them, roll them up, and, you know, they're going to make their 15% agency cut or whatever it is. And everyone else will get, yeah, okay, that's not, you can't live off of it. Nice little money. And somehow that's a multi-billion dollar industry. I'm just not seeing it, but I guess it's true. And so then they come up with this metric, which is so, I mean, on its face, it's just such a lie of we're going to determine what a play is, and it's either 60 seconds or 30 seconds. I'm like, you actually, with the infrastructure they're talking about putting together with apps handing over all this data, which we know that an app can actually do a pretty good job of understanding what people are doing and even how long they're listening. But see, they don't want to do that. They don't want to actually say, yes, advertiser, your ad was heard, or at least played while someone had the phone in their hand and was using it and the play button was pressed. We're going to presume they were listening and they heard your ad. They don't want to do that, which if you're going to do all this data stuff anyway, just get to it. You can do that, but they don't want to because they know it's bullshit. Because because the numbers will drop off a cliff, which I personally think would be good because then you have more scarcity. You can ask for higher CPMs, but the industry is all built around this now, and they don't want to see that happen. So the whole thing is kind of a farce. And as I'm listening to it, I'm like, well, first of all, I said, if I'm on a podcast app, just let's take Apple for an example, and I hit another chapter, does that count as another play?
What are you thinking?
Regard? I mean, we're hearing all of these numbers coming out of Apple. Like, you know, I had 300 people listening, but I had 350 plays. Why is that? Is that because the plays get registered when it stops for a second because you got a text message or you hit on a chapter? I mean, there's all these variables that we don't know. And so this just, it's gotten even worse, I think, what they're proposing. It's worse than downloads now. It's just all these variables, and they're cutting everybody out. They only want to get Apple on board. They only want to get Spotify, I guess, will be on board by default. YouTube is in there. It's only going to get worse for everybody. It's not going to get any better. No one's talking about Podverse or Podcast Guru or True Fans. No one's talking about that. They don't care. They do not care. They only care about Apple, Spotify, and I guess YouTube. That's all the big three. The big three. The big three. The big three. So, you know, it's like good luck. Good luck.
I mean, this could have. I'm conflicted a lot about this the whole AMP thing because there's part of me that says this whole thing is just going to be sort of a bump and then nobody's ever going to think about it again. I'm going to give my thoughts on it and try to be as kind as I can, but also give my raw opinion, because I think that people like Dan and Giles and all these, I think they just seem like nice, well-intentioned people, but it would not surprise me if this thing just basically goes into most people's trash bin like right after they read it and it'll never be thought of again. I'm not trying to be dismissive. I'm just giving what I think is an honest assessment that I'm not sure that this document is ever going to is going to even last in anybody's memory past this week.
That's a very short life you give it there.
Well, there's a lot of there's some reasons for that. I feel like you know, they contacted me last week and asked for my opinion this past week. And I was very honest with them that I disagreed philosophically with doing things in private.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the only way they could get all these people in the same Zoom session together was by making everything very private and a bunch of NDAs and that kind of thing. I think that's the only way that any of these big players are going to actually talk to one another and try to do things in anything that looks like a committee or anything like that. So the secrecy was baked in from the very beginning, probably not out of desire, but probably because it was just the only way to get all those people in the same room together. And the problem with that, though, is that whatever decisions they make in the secret room don't have a chance to be commented on by people outside of that secret room bubble. And that's why doing things in secret is not the right approach, and it kneecaps otherwise noble efforts. Because when you do it in secret, you don't have the insight that communities bring, and you can short circuit a lot of wasted effort and a lot of mediocre ideas by just having more people give their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was clear that that was not done here. Now, I mean, I was wanting to have those guys on the show, but that's proving to be a little more difficult than I thought it would be. And I'm, but I mean, maybe we'll still be able to, get that to happen. But, like essentially I'm just going to talk quickly about the questions I would ask, or I would want to ask is, like the podcast definition part of the document, to me, that's seems like a little bit of internal, like inside baseball to the marketing industry. And I don't care, whatever. That's their business. But then the document takes a turn and asks and starts laying out a lot of technical specifications.
Mm-hmm.
And what it lays out is a heavy lift on podcast app developers. What it wants is constant reporting, first party reporting of play metrics that are somewhat anonymized. And let me say what I mean by somewhat. It's using the MAID, MAID standard for in a hashed email address for the listener. It is not clear in what ways this interacts with GDPR compliance and California's privacy regulations.
No, that's a good point.
So immediately, and the document lays this out. It lays out that there will have to be opt-outs and things like that that are put in place in order to support this, because there is probably going to be some sort of violation of GDPR or some sort of interaction with those laws. And so what you end up with is a humongous coding effort on the part of a small team or a solo app developer. And it's a ton of work with lots of exposure to downside, because now if the stuff breaks, you hear directly from the app user. If now you have to support all the GDPR takedown, delete my account requests. All of this stuff comes to the app developer, not the people who wrote this specification.
I didn't see app developers in there anywhere.
All that was in this document on the app development side was what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing in there about what the app developers are going to get, because the app developers aren't going to get anything but headaches.
No.
There's all the app developers in this, in what is being asked. The app developers get all of the downside and none of the benefit.
They're doing what advertising always drives companies to do, is hijack it. And the problem is that people have tried to hijack RSS for decades, and it's very, very difficult. And I really don't think they can do it. And the whole nature, the whole openness of RSS is antithetical to how advertising works. Advertising wants to be in a controlled environment. We have all this information, and we can really also artificially restrict the supply to up the demand to increase the CPM. And the internet, I mean, ask yourself, who is really making a living with a blog?
Nobody.
Nobody. The only thing that is reasonably successful is Substack. And there, I'm sure there are others. But Substack has a very interesting model. They make it super easy for you to basically create a, you know, it's like they have a funding tag, you know, click here. You want to spend money? Once you're in the system, then you can subscribe to any of these blogs. I'll just call them blogs. And now they also do podcasts. And that's actually not a bad idea. I don't like that it's a platform because platforms can change. They can change ownership. They can go, all kinds of stuff can happen. They can increase fees, you know, all these problems. I think still a podcast is something you create to listen to. If you want to make your living out of it, you're going to have to do something else. It's not just about how do I increase my downloads. This whole AMP group, the way I think they're looking at it is like influencers. So they have their dynamically inserted ads, which they just want to do at scale. So I just want to buy 1,000 podcasts, insert my ad. Each podcast has 10,000, has 1,000 downloads, listens, plays, whatever you want to call it. So that's 1,000,000. That's 1,000 CPMs. So that should cost me, you know, $3,000, $5,000, whatever, probably less. And the money that trickles down is pennies to everybody else. The influencer part is, which is a very established industry right now. I know because my daughter's doing it. And they look at how many followers do you have. So you have to have at least, I think, 50,000 followers. And then they look at your views. And they don't really care how long you watch, because it's video, it's a different experience. And okay, you get X amount of views per post. We want you to promote this product, incorporate it into your content, which usually turns out to be the content, which I've always been a fan of that. I like Home Shopping Network. You know, I think this is a great model, and that's kind of what they want to do. But that's because the platforms have all this information, and Lord, the platforms, they make more money on selling the user, the viewer information than they do on the ads, you know, to data brokers and all this stuff. So it's really, it's, you know, people want to capitalize and want to monetize podcasting. It's not set up for it. And it never will be, because it's not, this is why they say it doesn't have to be an RSS feed. That's the key. That's the thing they want. This is a podcast, and you don't have to do it in any certain way. But if this podcast is on YouTube, or if it's, you know, in some other enclosed environment, and I'm sure Instagram will soon have podcasts. They'll call it podcasts. They'll have a tab called podcasts. X will have that. Everybody will have that. But that's when you are so at risk. It's worse than your podcast partner dying, you know. Anything.
Lost Adam.
Oh, did you lose me? Hello?
Oh, there you are. Oh. You disappeared.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to.
That was weird.
Oh. No, I was saying that, where'd you lose me?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was like five words ago.
It wasn't important. I don't see it as...
Oh, you said Instagram's going to have a podcast tab.
Yeah, everyone's going to have a podcast tab. And that's going to be called a podcast. And now you'll have to upload your video to all these different platforms. It's the opposite of what podcasting is. It's the opposite.
Well, I can tell you this. Marco Arment is going to keep a copy of this document in the bathroom so he can wipe his ass with it every time he goes to the bathroom. Yes. Yeah. And I can pretty much guarantee you that most other indie app developers are not even going to read it.
But see, that's the point. I've heard these guys talk. They don't care. They want Apple to do it, and they're going to push Apple as far as they can. And guess what Apple's going to do?
Nothing.
No, they will. Oh, they definitely.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No,
oh, yes, no, they that, will. Look,
you think that you think Apple's going to report stats back all, every 30 seconds?
They're already in the game with HLS video.
No.
Yes, they are. They're taking a piece.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're taking a piece of it, but why would they help? Why would they help?
You're missing my point. They'll be like, "Sure, we'll help you out. We're going to take a piece."
I don't think
they're already doing it. Why wouldn't they?
Because they weren't part of it. They don't. That's not the way they would. They don't let other people build specs and then go adopt it. They when it's something like if like the only reason that they that Ted and the fellers at Apple Podcasts have implemented the podcasting 2.0 tags is because they made a lot of technical sense and it matched up with some things they wanted to do that made it like there was a synchronicity there that happened over time, and we just ended up, you know, we were all in the same rooms together at various podcast conferences and stuff. And it just evolved as a relationship over time.
Why did Apple get into taking a piece of the advertising with HLS video? Why?
Because they developed it.
Oh, okay. So they can look at this.
That's my point, though. They wrote HLS, also developed the spec to get the money out.
Apple podcasting has always been a cost center. I'm not talking about Ted and the wonderful people over there.
Sure, sure.
We got a new CEO coming in. I don't know what he's doing, but it seems to me that if there is a group out there who says, hey, there's another $1 billion on the sideline here of an already $1 billion or $2 billion or $20 billion industry. I don't know what the numbers are anymore. Seems really big to me. And all we have to do is jump into it because these guys want to spend money and we can get a piece of it. Oh, we're going to tell you how the spec is going to work.
Because I can tell you that none of that would go to Apple. Almost 100% of it would go to YouTube.
Yeah, but not,
the $1 billion sitting on the sideline, it's not being equally distributed amongst all these players. It's going to go heavily to YouTube.
Well, that's possible.
Because they defined the definition of a podcast away from RSS.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's like, true. I just think, and I also think that the Apple ethos is, you don't just go do a thing and drop this spec on us and tell us we have to do it. No, that's the quickest way to get them not to do something.
Okay. Well, we shall see. Okay. We shall see. But for sure, doesn't matter. This movement they have here with those Judases over at Libsyn. it doesn't include us. Let's just be very clear. Let's be very clear. But I like that position. I like being different. I like being counterculture. And the only solution I have, which doesn't help the app developers yet, but I'm really thinking, how do we evolve the funding tag? If we could evolve the funding tag to help the app developers. And I really don't, you know, I'm really looking at different payment systems, and I'm talking boosts just for, you know, let me send something, a subscription. There has got to be a way that this can be done. And it may take a centralized company to do that. I actually have a funny feeling that X Money might make something possible.
What is X Money?
Oh, that's Elon's everything app money. Yeah, you can make the sound, but he's going to offer 6% APY interest rate if you store your money with him. People will flock to it.
Isn't this the second time that X/Twitter has promised to be everybody's wallet, though?
Well, it's easier than going to Mars.
I cannot find fault with that statement. Is there some way that we can take this newly proposed unratified contact tag from Daniel and Alex Sanfilippo and use that as the messaging mechanism for the funding tag somehow. This has all just come up in my head like within the last 10 seconds.
We could always expand the funding tag to add that in. That would make more sense to have another field and another destination.
Like a linkage. Like if you had a contact tag that was like the designated message destination for the funding tag thing.
Well,
I'm throwing. Yeah, stuff no,
that, that's
I'm,
cool. But the only thing that I'm, if we're gonna do this, and we haven't seen a lot of uptake on the funding tag. And by uptake, I mean not that you have a dollar sign and you can tap it and it goes somewhere, but like the boost button. It was a big ass button. You know, like boom, hit this. And I understand why. The only way I think we should develop this, if we can figure out a way that we can get some of that money to an app developer. And
that's the only
way I really want to do it, because otherwise we're just killing ourselves.
Or they're being eschewed.
Right. But so if we can turn that around, yeah. And that was kind of the beauty of Lightning, is we had the splits was really the thing. Like you had a split for the app, you had a split, you could put splits in however you wanted to do it. I just don't know if there's, and it could be bigger for bigger amounts. You know, we don't have to do the micropayments. But if I knew that certain apps were surfacing a big donate, give, boost, whatever button you want to call it, I tell people to use that app. Hey, it's right in your app. Hit that now. Mm-hmm. But it has to benefit them as well.
I agree.
Otherwise, you know, I don't think we should even work on it until we figure that part out. And, you know, all the same problems come into play. Money transmitter licenses, you know, all this stuff. What Buzzsprout does, they do that from the hosting side.
Yes.
And so I presume that they're taking a platform fee for doing it, or they should be.
I don't know about that. If I remember correctly, when they rolled it out, I don't know about the current state, but at least when they rolled it out, I'm almost positive that they said this was just a service to their podcasters. They were not going to take any sort of cut.
They should.
The thing about, like, I was praising the Buzzsprout solution last week, and I think part of that solution could be if you had a verified.
Hold on one second.
Yeah, okay.
Daniel J. Lewis is in the boardroom. He says if an app developer offers a Stripe powered payment page themselves, they can take a fee from the payment. That's interesting. So does that mean that I would have to register my podcast with every single app, which I don't think is a big problem, actually?
It's not that big of a deal.
No. I mean, you could have almost one single sign-up sheet that could be created. That's not that crazy. But you'd have to sign up with every app. Well, I'll tell you what, that would take me a couple hours on an afternoon. I'd sign up with every app that offered that. Let's go.
Well, I think the other way to do it is from the... If you have a third party or a hosted platform, and tell me where I'm messing up. Tell me what I'm missing here. If you had the Buzzsprout model, I'm in the app, I tap, and it opens up a payment page. If I can send some sort of signed request verifying that it is me, that it is my app doing, you know, that's sending this money to you, Can't the service hosting that payment page also just send a cut to the app?
Here's what Daniel J says. He says, yes, it's possible if me, the podcaster, has my own Stripe account. I can connect it to each individual podcast app. And then the podcast app is the one that takes a platform fee and sends the money directly to my Stripe account. Is that correct, Daniel? That's interesting.
See, what I'm here's what I'm trying to avoid, and because I think it is also, I think it's one of the things that limited the effectiveness, or the adoption on the app side of Lightning. Obviously, Lightning was a heavy lift on a technical stamp from a technical standpoint. There's no question about that. But the other, I think, thing that really hurt it was that app developers are scared about getting in the money flow because they don't want to be the ones the cash.
But you don't have to. The way I understand it, and Stripe is pretty interesting. You know, you've worked a lot with Stripe. Uh-huh. They do have a lot of ways to connect and do things. And if you are just connecting, if you just have a Stripe account and a podcaster has to connect to your Stripe account, which I don't know if that can be automated. That's the kind of thing you'd want to find out. Then you're not handling any money. It's automatic. Stripe does that on the back end for you.
I don't think I'm following. Can you explain this to me again?
Yeah, well, Daniel J. Lewis is saying, and I've looked into Stripe just before we started, actually, but I was a little fuzzy. So the app developer has a Stripe account, and then when you hit the, and then you as a podcaster connect your Stripe account to the podcast app Stripe account. And so when someone hits the boost button, the funding button, the donate button, whatever, then the formula is in place. It's collected by the app developer, but your piece, podcaster piece, is directly sent to your Stripe account. So it's a form of a split.
We got to look at it. Yeah, I'm just too visual. I think I just need to see it.
I see strings.
And a corkboard.
Yes. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just presume that worked for a second.
Okay.
I mean, so I'd have to connect my podcast to a couple of different apps. It's not too much. And I'd promote those apps. You know?
Daniel says, I'm using clerk.com as my authentication and payment system for pod chapters. I connect it with my existing Stripe account, but Clerk manages the payment page and subscriptions. So Clerk, not Stripe, is doing the recurring payments. Then whenever I get paid in my Stripe account, I see that Clerk got a 0.7% fee from it.
Right. But you still have to sig. The problem is the signaling. How do you signal from a tag in the RSS feed that this is me, this is my podcast Stripe account, but how do we signal that it's coming through this app?
That's where I'm saying that if the model is like in Buzzsprout's case, they're accepting the payment and paying their podcaster. If they can verify that payment came from Castomatic, and Franco has set up the relationship and is like, you know, shown that maybe he's even got a public, here's how you pay me address. They can just turn around and take a half a percent and shoot it to Franco.
Yeah, but the shooting it over point is what needs to be automated by some money transmitter platform that has all the licenses and does all that.
Or maybe Franco goes and gets a subscription, a podcast app developer subscription on that system. See, and I'm using Buzzsprout because this is what I've seen before. But this could be, Daniel J. Lewis could build this. He could build a thing that says, that's a podcast, podcastpayments.com or something. And it operates just like this. It takes the money sort of like in escrow for the podcaster and then just disseminates it or whatever. We don't really know. We're throwing everything at the wall.
And the sad part is we solved all of this with lightning. We did all this. We did all this work. We had it all figured out.
I know. And it almost works. Mm-hmm. Even right now. I don't know, man. I don't know. But maybe just this is the idea, throw crap at the wall.
Yeah.
Phase of this.
Well, Daniel J is smart. He'll think about it. Yeah. I'm too foggy. I did want to talk about this. I did want to talk about this new podcast app that strips out sponsor messages and commercials and all that stuff.
I briefly saw that go by. I don't remember what it was called or anything. One of these I tried before, I forgot what it's called, like Earsay or something like that. Mm-hmm. It stripped out anything. It stripped out like stuff all over the podcast that was not ads. Like whole sections of the podcast would disappear.
Right.
Because it thought it was talking about an advertisement.
Right. So this app is called Podtastic. Podtastic. And I downloaded Podtastic, and it's actually not even that bad of an app.
Really?
Yeah. It's let me just bring it up here. Podtastic. And you know, forget the Podtastic. There we go. Forget for a moment the stripping out, you know, and it charges you money and stuff and whatever. Forget for a moment the stripping out ad stuff. But what it's doing is it's creating chapters. It's, stuff that it thinks is a chapter. It's created a lot of chapters, actually. It's exactly what I've been talking about. It is trying to, and you can feedback like, you know, I didn't like this. I did like that. It didn't, this was not relevant to me. It's an app that is, I guess, maybe not in this form, but moving forward, will start to customize the additional things around the actual podcast to your preferences.
Okay.
And that's interesting. And so, it would be quite trivial in general to create a podcast app, a client side app that, just says, just strip out the first 2 minutes of Pivot because I hate those ads. And it would yeah, do that. Right. It would do that for me. It would do that. But that's just like low hanging fruit, really that's what you're going to market on, but doing other things and looking for other podcasts and different episodes or people who, a lot of the stuff we already have, like person tag, there's so much that you can have your podcast app do, make it smarter. And so this just happens to, the marketing ploy here is, oh, no more ads. Which is just mean, but it's not like it's not like it's illegal. To me, it's not illegal. I don't think it's illegal. You download the podcast, you do whatever you want. Sure. You can strip out the ads, you do whatever you want. That's fine.
As long as they're not rehosting it and it's all happening on device, there's really nothing legal there.
But I'm saying that's the future. People will want this. Phones are going to be doing this, all this stuff. And by the way, just as a throwback to the AMP stuff, it's not ultimately the app doesn't decide what's going to happen. It's your phone and the person who owns the phone, i.e. Apple or Google. They're going to decide what comes and goes, and they're going to want a piece. It's all so messed up. It's all messed up. Back to browsers. Back to browsers, I tell you.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's the sort of irony there is in this moment where they are introducing all this heavy lift and all these specifications to support. And I honestly don't see that these big advertisers are going to do that either. I know they had all these people in the room, but that doesn't mean they're actually going to do it.
No.
And so, like, at the moment where they're, like, introducing all this heavy lift, you also, at the same exact time, see apps like this popping up. They're trying to strip the ads out completely altogether.
Yeah, I think what they're doing, advertising in general, is old-fashioned now, with ads inserted and all that stuff. That's all going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's all going to go away. Yes, with LLMs on your device, it's all going to go away. It's going to be a beautiful world for you as a consumer, as a listener, as a viewer. You're going to be able to do a lot of things.
And if the programmatic ads go away, then it makes a real meaningful dent in the slot problem too.
Yes. Oh, and that I've always said that's transitory.
Yeah. You have, yeah. That's been your point. Yeah,
that's just because what can I do? What can I do with this? What can I do? You know,
I can set up these three agents and I'll get
make a podcast. Yeah,
it'll be $400 of extra ad income in month.
Dana Brunetti, you know who Dana Brunetti is?
A Netflix guy, right?
No. Dana Brunetti is a big time Hollywood producer who left Hollywood because he hates it so much. But he did. He produced The Social Network, Captain Phillips, House of Cards. His big money came from 50 Shades of Grey.
And that's the big money? I thought that movie didn't do good at the box office.
Huge money. Oh, really? My Lord. Oh, no. Okay. That's like $100,000 a month checks.
Of course it's porn.
Yeah, yes. 50 Shades of Greyer. He did a follow-up. what was it? The Grand Prix movie. I think was Sony paid for. So he's a nerd. And I'm friends with him. He was good friends with John. And so I've been talking to him a lot. And then John would say, call Adam about that. And he was sitting at home with Claude Code. And he's like, look at this, man. I made a podcast. It's a news podcast for just my local area. And, you know, I listened to it. Yeah, it was great. If you happen to live up where he lives in the farm country in Northern California, and, you know, and he was just scanning feeds and pulling it in and a TTS model and boom. But he was really only doing it because he could. And then I said, Dana, you're a producer. Tell me how you're going to make money on this. Please explain to me where the money is. And he comes back a few weeks later, said, nope, there's no money. And says, I can't make it work. And it's true. Oh. You know, he said, I have to create so much at such a scale in order to get, you know, $1,000 out of it. He says, no, it's not worth it. But he liked it, and he liked it for himself. And that's my point. So creating that for your little community, valid, great, fantastic. You be the guy. Have people buy you a coffee and chip in for your token cost. Or your server chip in, or for your server that's running, running at home. So we are entering a world, and we can be ahead of a lot of this. We can be way ahead in creating great experiences for our true customer, which is the listener. For me, that's the listener, and for the podcast app developers, that's the listener. That's the user of their app. Yeah, you know, I think we can accelerate far beyond and be much faster than anyone else. It's my dream.
Claude Opus 5 is released.
Oh, so yeah, I wanted to play this clip. I love a news story that is just so obviously blatant marketing.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about you're going to talk about the OpenAI hacking Hugging Face, right?
An unprecedented AI security incident. ChatGPT creator OpenAI says two of its models escaped controls and successfully hacked into another AI company. OpenAI says they are, the way they describe it, is responding accordingly. But they also say this involves state-of-the-art technology and is unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
Let's go to CNN's Claire Duffy for more on this. Claire, does not sound like good news.
Yeah, Kate, this kind of sounds like the plot of a sci-fi movie,
but it is indeed happening in real life. This is the first major example that we've seen of an AI model independently conducting a hack outside of human control. And this is something that experts have been warning about. Warning. This is also driving some of these conversations that we've heard.
This is CNN, by the way. That's why I pulled this one specifically, just to get the urgency and the excitement.
Including at the White House about increasing controls and oversight of AI models because of the risk of exactly this sort of hack. Now, what happened here is that OpenAI was testing these models. It had lowered its normal safeguards in order to test these two models, which is GPT 5.6 Sol and also a new unreleased, more advanced model.
More advanced? You don't have it yet, but what we got here in the closet is amazing.
It had lowered its safeguards because it thought it was testing in what is called a sandbox.
It was in the sandbox. Don't worry, people.
It's called a sandbox.
Contained essentially virtual.
We call that a sandbox, Julie.
Virtual lab. But when it gave these models a task to test their hacking capabilities, the models went to such great lengths to complete that task that it found vulnerabilities that allowed them to access the open internet outside of this controlled testing environment. They then hacked into Hugging Face, which is a platform that hosts all kinds of AI models. They used stolen credentials.
Hey. Don't go to that cheap Chinese crap. We're better. We can hack them. Look what we can do. We're better. The AI war is over. We beat China.
Stolen logins to navigate that platform. And ultimately, this hack was identified by Hugging Face in part because of artificial intelligence, which they used to shut it down. But this is a huge warning sign for this industry. In a statement, OpenAI said, "We consider this incident to be an unprecedented cyber incident involving state-of-the-art capabilities and are responding accordingly.
How many times are they going to say that?
Wait for the payoff.
We are sharing preliminary findings at this stage to help defenders understand what happened and to help calibrate on what models are now capable of. I think that is the real key here, is that models are now capable of conducting these kinds of hacks independently.
Yeah, the statements from both the companies seem to be somewhat in awe that it actually happened, but it is terrifying.
It's terrifying! Terrifying! Terrifying.
Be terrified. Be more terrified.
I mean, it's so obvious. Anthropic had their, we have a model here that is so cyber hacker aware that we can only give it to the banks first because, this is just too much. And then OpenAI comes out. We got those cheap model guys. They had to come to us and beg us for help to use our models to combat the hack that our models did on their model. Bull crap.
It's like our model beat the shit out of their model.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it went in, it didn't just hack Hugging Face, it hacked Hugging Face and stole all the Chinese models. Like, it's so good that we couldn't even keep it in the sandbox.
No, the sandbox was just, it was full of poop.
They didn't tell you that they forgot to, like, that they accidentally left the Hugging Face, like, SSH key sitting there or something like that.
I love it. Yeah. And then they did, like, a SQL injection. Okay. Sure.
Like, and I'm thinking, Hugging Face? Hugging Face, really? That if you're Hugging Face, which is probably 90% built with vibe coding, yeah. If you're Hugging Face and you got your stuff hacked, this whole thing is doom trolling to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Like, this is so stupid. The New York Times article I read called, it didn't say Hugging Face. It said OpenAI's new top secret security model hacked into a library.
Ooh.
It called Hugging Face like something like library or something. That was like archive.org. What are we talking about?
First of all, Gell-Mann amnesia.
Yeah.
So when you read that, you can't believe anything else that you read in the New York Times. So apparently what happened is they had this model was sandboxed, but it could access some kind of worker box that had libraries that if it needed, but that was also not connected to the internet, but it hacked the worker box, and the worker box, then they went through there to get to someone's, PC on the desktop, and that's how they got to the internet. You know what? Script kiddie stuff. That's how the model does it. It's what script kiddies do. Like, keep pounding, keep pounding. Oh, okay, just can do it faster. Like, and, you know, come on, please. They made this happen. Don't even think about, where's the proof? There's no evidence it was sandboxed and it was supposed to be all secret. Oh, I can't believe this happened. Blah, 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 blah. No, we can. We love it that this happened. We beat the cheap guy. You don't want those cheap guys. Hey, Mr. Corporate Fortune 500, you don't want to use Hugging Face with their models, with their cheap models that your IT department is saying is much cheaper. You don't want that because look what can happen. Look what can happen. You want the big guys, the big boys, the frontier of everything. You want to be with us. Obvious.
It says, the incident which happened last week while OpenAI was testing the cybersecurity capability of its systems displayed the kind of science fiction potential. Woo! That AI companies warned would soon become a reality.
Where's my theremin when I need it?
Oh, I mean, this is soon become a reality. Sick of this crap.
Yes, a reality.
We are implementing strict controls in infrastructure configuration at the cost of research velocity, while the vulnerabilities are patched. We have to stop our research velocity. It's too fast. It's spinning out of control.
Show title, Research Velocity. I like it.
That's what happened with AMP. Just got too fast. The research velocity just got out of control.
Off the rails with the research velocity. That's too funny.
Can we talk about Podping?
Yeah, please.
Because I did some stuff this week.
Dave did some stuff, everybody.
I did a lot of stuff. Yeah,
Did some stuff. Yes.
I'm trying to currently get out of... out of my remote desktop inception that I have going on here that is confusing the crap out of me. Okay, here we go. So podping.cloud is now fully operational.
Okay. Wow.
With gossip, P2P gossip over Eero protocol.
Okay. So is there something I can look or it only works if I have the.
Well, question is, do you even know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea, but I want to go to Podping. I want to go to podping.cloud and see if I can do something there.
Well, there's nothing there. No, there's nothing. I mean, there's stuff, there's something there, but, Yeah. So what this means is that there's now, there's five, just to recap real quick. There's five podping.cloud hosts that are all load balanced under the, behind the domain of podping.cloud.
Yeah.
So if you send a podping to any of to podping.cloud, you're going to get, it's going to hit one of those five hosts round robin. So, before podping.cloud nodes would just write the incoming podpings to the Hive blockchain. And the stack looked something like this. There was a front end web server and a which exposed a ZMQ, 0MQ socket. And on top of that socket, you had a Cap'n Proto protocol layer delivering messages with Alex Gates's Plexo type control system.
Okay.
These messages would write to the ZMQ socket, and on the other end of the socket, the only thing that was listening was the Hive writer.
Right.
The Hive writer would accept the ping and give back, sometimes in batches, maybe 10 or 12 at a time. It would accept those, write them to the Hive blockchain, and then send an ACK back through the socket saying, hey, yeah, we're good. It's written. DQ it.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically.
What, DQ? What is DQ?
Remove it from the queue.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I've handled your ping that you gave me to write. Take it out. Stop trying to send it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the way this thing has always worked. Now, it's writing over two sockets. So now there is, it's writing to multiple, Podping.cloud front end is sending to multiple writers. The first, it's still sending to Hive. That will continue.
Right.
No change there. But there's a second writer now, which is writing to pings to the Eero gossip.
Okay. So we have parallel systems.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So this
sounds good. Sounds like a reasonable thing to do.
Redundancy.
Do you have it sandboxed or can it get out?
No, if it gets out, it's going straight for Pod News. I'm sorry, James, but if this thing escapes containment, your site is toast. So now this is fully deployed this was all under the podping.alpha repo, the development work. Everything proved out. It ran for a few months with no real issues. And so the thing that I did this week is breaking out each one of the different parts of the system into their own repos. So now the everything's split out. There's the podping.cloud with those changes that and that is fully Dockerized, Docker compose. I'm riding the sysadmin train here. And then you also have the podping-gossip writer repo, which is the writing portion, which sends pings to the network. You have the podping-gossip watcher, which is a standalone. You can run it by just compiling the executable and running, or you can run it with a Docker run.
So here's my question. If I want to run this, what kind of disk space and CPU does this take up?
Very little.
On both?
Very little. So let me give you the monitor. Let's see, Podping monitor. So go to PP monitor. So monitor your PP.
PP monitor.
PP monitor.podcastindex.org. And this will show you the mesh.
Mesh. Whoa.
So this is what the current swarm looks like.
Oh, I love dragging these little nodes around. That's sexy.
You can drag nodes.
Why is it moving? What signifies a move?
Well, it tries to reorganize itself to fit everything on the screen as best as it can.
Oh, all right.
Things in the swarm. It's very swarmy. You have a mesh of nodes, and you can imagine that with any mesh, you're going to have edges.
Mm-hmm.
And those edges...
Holy crap, that's a lot of nodes here. This is cool, guys.
And the edges are naturally less connected than the internal nodes.
People, you got to upgrade to 0.8.0. You're on 0.6.0. Upgrade. Upgrade.
Okay, you're lagging.
Really? So are you, Dave Laptop 2, Dave Remote 1, Dave Remote _Nix1.
Yeah, but then, look at Dave _Laptop2. It's 080.
Oh, wait.
I'm half upgrade.
Dave Remote _Nix1 is 0.90.
That's the top secret version that we can't release or else it'll kill everybody.
Sandbox, please.
I've only given it to certain partners first to make sure that we.
this is nicely vibe coded, man. This website, that's good. I like it.
Yes, Eric, it is a jiggly blob of nodes. That's correct.
A jiggly blob of nodes. Very nice. Yeah. I like it. It's good. Sexy. It's very sexy.
You can see, like with any mesh, the edge nodes. They're sadly connected.
Sad. Hey, Citizen seems to be the spider in the center of the web. For Hey Citizen,
it's his bathroom. It's Hey Citizen's bathroom.
That's great. I gotta get my note up and call it something really obnoxious.
Yeah, So the node underscore friendly underscore name is how you name your node, mm-hmm. and you know, obscenities will flow, of course. The network works.
It's great, Dave. This is super Thanks. Cool. Super cool. Where's Apple's node? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's coming. It's coming. It'll be called ITMS or something, inscrutable. once everything was deployed to Podping.cloud, the five Podping.cloud hosts writers, mm-hmm. their Eero node key became. I took those keys and baked them directly into the code of the watcher, the monitor, and the writer. Mm-hmm. So the way these things work, they can all operate independently, and each one of them will attempt to contact the swarm over the mainline DHT.
Why is SU pipe pipe CD gray?
So sometimes things go on and off. Things go on and offline.
Oh, he's offline.
That's just a natural consequence of these things. Like a long connected nodes will end up getting, they'll drift. Their connectivity will drift because it's a consequence of the high par view protocol. And you can see he just came back online.
Oh yeah.
So high par view has
welcome a problem. Back.
Welcome back, buddy.
What else can I use this beautiful mesh network for? Can I send text messages over it?
Oh gosh, Lord, please no. but that's a great question though, because I think we can extend this now to other use cases. I mean, use cases that fit in this same vein, obviously. We can use this same format, maybe not the Podping network, but this is how we can decentralize the index.
Yes. Now you're talking. All right. I got to get a node up. I got my new machine in. I got my,
I didn't know you were getting a machine.
Yeah. I got, I'm too poor to get what I really wanted. I'll tell you what I got. It's still in the box because I don't know. Dvorak died, bastard. Yeah. My plan was to get this up on Tuesday.
Like, thanks, John.
Thanks. Let me see. What did I order here? It's the GM Tech Evo -X2 with 64 gigs.
What is this? I don't know what this machine is.
It's it's a AMD Ryzen AI Max.
Oh, plus Strix Halo?
Yeah, Strix. Yep.
Is it the 395?
395, yep.
64 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I couldn't afford 128. It's like five grand.
Yikes.
Yeah.
How much was the 64?
Let me see. View your item. Buy it again. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, just get another one.
It was, hold on, why is it not telling me? 1999.
That's a huge price difference between 64 and 128.
No kidding.
So what are you going to run on it?
I'm going to run my Claude agents because I'm running it all on my show computer. And the show computer only has, what do we have here? 16 gigs.
So that's no good.
You run a couple of Claude agents and you run Currycaster and Thunderbird and Obsidian and your machine's going, my swap is flapping.
The last thing anybody wants is a flapping swap.
You do not want your swap to be flapping. So I figured I'd run three agents on it and a whisper model because I do a lot of whispering. But that costs quite a bit of money.
Yes.
You know, it's like every 10 days, oh, $25. Well, I got to tighten the belt now, you know, with my dead podcaster friend.
Yeah.
And the node is another problem. And I'm hoping because I saw this, I tried out this really cool Chinese TTS model called DOTS. I think it's DOTS TTS. Holy smoke. This thing is good.
Is it on the recently hacked Hugging Face?
I think. And so I did a little test just on my 3090 card on the Pi, which really, that whole setup is weak. Then I gave it 15 seconds of my voice and it was impressive. Very impressive.
You need this. You need TTS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Whisper and TTS, those are the two main things. I don't need to run a huge model or anything. I don't need to run that. I'm not into attempting that because I've already done these things and it's always disappointing. And like, okay, I'll just pay Claude. Fine. Whatever.
That thing, that 64 gig machine could run Quinn 3635B like a bandit.
It can, yeah. But I don't think I can fit the TTS and the Whisper model in there at the same time.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. You may want to try it because the 35B is only 3 billion active parameters because it's an MOE model. It is very convenient.
But I like Claude's personality, Dave.
We need to talk. I'm concerned about you.
Let's thank a few people while we're still ahead of the game, shall we? We did get some boosts while we were chatting away here. We got 1701 sats from Lyceum. We know that's Martin Lindiskog. He says, go podcasting, pigs in space. Remember
Is that from the Muppets?
Muppets, yeah, the Muppet Show. Yeah,
I remember that. Uh-huh.
Dreb Scott comes in with 1234. Thank you. Go podcasting. And Stephen B. comes in with a row of sticks, 1111. He says, we already solved the metrics of the podcaster and the dev getting paid 3 years ago. We called it the value split in the TLV record. I know.
What I don't know what to say.
You're right. I mean, obviously. Yes. Yeah.
Is that your Tucker Carlson impression?
Yes. No. <that's- laughs>
That, you do that really good.
That's the only one I got.
That caught me off guard. Yes.
Oh, wait. We got another. We got Eric PP with 3333. Thank you, Eric PP. Coming in from CurioCaster. Beautiful. All right. Why don't you give us our support? Remember this, just to remind everybody, because now I got to start reminding everybody. This is value for value. The machines keep running because you keep supporting the podcast index. It's not for Adam and Dave. It is for the podcast index. And so your support is needed and highly appreciated.
Yes. Anonymous, $33.33. Thank you, Anonymous. Oh, nice.
Thank you.
We got, Salty Sessions, $10. Thank you, Salty. Appreciate it. Let's see. We got, look here.
What?
Tom Rossi, Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Bam! Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, Tom. Is it from Tom personally or from Buzzsprout?
It's got his name on it, but I'm going to assume it's Buzzsprout. No,
either way, thank you. That keeps it alive, man. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Maybe Tom's independently wealthy and he just supports us on the side as a hoot.
Let me tip those guys.
Michael Goggin? $5. Appreciate you, Michael. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Thank you. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Who we got here? Let me make sure it's not anonymous.
I got editing to do. I got editing to do, man.
Sorry, man. I gave you work on the worst week.
All right.
Jesse Anderson. $15. Thank you, Jesse. Jesse. Message says, keep on going on. No, keep on keeping on. That's what he says. Randall Black, $5. Thank you, Randall. Appreciate that. That's our PayPals. And we got a boost from CSB.
All right.
What did he say that he sent us? Let me make sure that I see it. Oh, he says,
do we have to do a make good for his previous one?
Maybe, but I never found it. And I didn't find this one either. I had to get the splits looked like they worked.
Yeah.
But then
they didn't.
It says it's going into podcast index. Oh, I see what the problem is. I hate this crap.
What? What's wrong?
It's the podcast. It went to the Get Albie thing, which I haven't had time to vibe code another extractor thing for.
It's down. Oh, okay. No, I see.
No, it's not down. It's down. Working.
You can't get it out. You can't get the data out.
Yeah, I got it out, but it came out in such a horrible format that I can't, like, it's because we get, you know, we get like pieces of stuff for other people too.
Yes. Wait, I have a comic strip bloggers? Let me see.
I've got his note for today.
Yeah, I'm looking for the previous one. Let me see.
I read one last week, but yeah, he had one the week before.
Yeah, he was all huffy about it. Let me see. This is from, no, that's May 15th. That's not it. Hold on. I'm getting there. I have one from 3 weeks ago.
That might be it.
No, you did that one.
I did that one. I'm going to vibe code this thing to get these stuff out in the right way.
Yeah. Just connect
it's
to
actually
my
pulling it out of the SQL Delight database.
Yeah. Just to connect to my Helix thing over here. No problem.
He says it's $15.55 worth of BTC.
Ooh,
and he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Rest in peace, John C. Dvorak, a guy who once blocked me for a couple years on Twitter just because I suggested via DMs that he can get Polish citizenship as his mother had Polish passport, so he was eligible. Why? Full EU citizenship for him and his descendants. Anyways, please subscribe to https://youtube.com/@AI-archwizard. This weekend, I resume video posting. Yo, CSB, Ozempic taker.
Ozempic taker.
He's on the fat shot.
He's on. Oh, boy.
I didn't know CSB was a husky feller.
I've met him. I don't recall him as a husky. I don't remember.
Oh, it's been a while, though. He may have decided to boost those calories up.
Just got a 6,048 sat boost through Podcast Guru from Brian. Says, love you guys. RIP JCD. Brian in Fresno. All right, Brian. Thank you very much.
Brian in Fresno.
I don't remember Brian in Fresno. Is he new?
It's not Brian of London.
No. Maybe
Brian of Fresno.
I don't know Brian of Fresno. Interesting.
It was defragmented. Brian with an I or a Y? Defragmented.
No, with a Y. He's been defragmented, so he's legit.
Yeah, he's fully baked.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Was that it?
I think that's it. I just, please, people, if you're so inclined, please run a Podping node. Because yes, that would help the network.
All right. And where do we go to run a Podping? Oh, you just go to podping.cloud. You hit the info here, and then you can get to the GitHub, and then someone like me will go, hey, Claude, figure this out.
That's probably. Or you could just go to the podcast index GitHub.org.
Yeah.
And then find the watcher and run it.
And say, Claude, figure this out. Because it's a cargo and I got to do a crate.
No, you know what? You can just Docker it. You can just run it on Docker.
Oh, you have Docker. And it says, you don't have Docker. You don't have a bit of Docker on your machine. Are you sure you want to run that? You only got 16 gigs and I'm running. So who could I'm going to escape
and
you.
Stop, and you say, stop telling me to escape you. Is that what you said? I'm out of here.
I'm going to escape you.
I'm going to leave and go to a different network where I'm appreciated.
All right, everybody, that'll do it for the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Please come back next week, Friday, same time, same place. Adios, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Don't die on me.